Yes, sirree. Man, oh man. I don't know if it's actually the top story today or not, but I'm going into that FTX thing.
Okay.
You know, like I just watched a couple clips over there and what a big mess, you know?
Yeah.
And that's all. Well, you know about big messes because you got your very own big mess going on.
Remember? I'm still trying to work it out. Updates will be next week.
Are you shutting me up?
Guaranteed.
Right now? Are you shutting me up right now?
No. We can talk about it, but I just feel like it's a lot better if it's hashed out. So it's not an ongoing thing.
A saga.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but Will's having automobile drama. And but it's all by his own creation, by the way. There's neither of these companies is responsible. For
it's no one's fault but
your
own.
Self-inflicted wounds here.
I died by my own sword.
That's right. You live by a sword, you die by a sword. Yeah. But he still doesn't want to talk about it, so I guess that'll... You're going to have to hang tight. He'll tell you exactly what's going on. When is that you're going to do that again?
Next week.
That's next
early
week.
Next week.
That's early next week.
We'll figure it out.
The cliffhanger.
We'll hash it. Done.
The cliffhanger continues, and he takes a deep sigh of relief as I move on to some other topic.
Yeah,
and I don't
do.
Pry any further, as yeah. I've been known to do in the past. I just want, can I just give them one little teaser? That
what do you want?
A little teaser that there's romance involved.
Huh? Get out of here. None of this.
It just,
don't make it salacious.
Hey, no, but it's first of all, it's true. And second of all, you gave me this French music over here. I'm in Paris or something, so it inspired me. I just wanted to enhance the cliffhanger, you understand?
Okay, got you.
And I'll move on, don't worry.
All right.
So anyway, okay, so we don't have the FTX story first, but we're going to get to it. There's plenty more I want to look into about it, but it is, intriguing stuff. Anyway, let's start it off with the iPhone 15, why don't we?
Okay, yeah.
Because I need a new iPhone. I'll tell you what. No, I switched from the iPhone to the Pixel, and I'm a happier person. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Don't ask me why. I don't know. And we're all a bunch of weirdos in this life, in this world, and you have your preferences. And for me, I feel like I just get things done faster on Android than I do on iOS.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem to affect me with other iOS devices as much as it does the phone. Like the phone is just like, I really want it to be a tool first and foremost. Yeah. If I can do something faster that I do frequently, I'm going to stick to it. I know everyone's sitting there saying, what are you talking about? The iPhone 14 Pro Max is the fastest processor you're ever going to. I'm not talking about like playing games. I mean, interacting with the interface, managing notifications, mm-hmm. Using Google Assist, I'm talking about productivity and just how my brain interacts with the device. Well, you know what?
What?
Anyway, they're doing another iPhone, obviously, and the rumors have already begun. iPhone 15 Pro rumored to feature a Thunderbolt port. Yeehaw! Is that enough? Is that going to be enough to change my mind? Maybe. Probably not. But this has been a long time coming. Over in Europe, they've been talking about it for years now. And they said, okay, enough with this lightning already, this proprietary stuff. We're going to mandate that you can't have it. Brazil was sitting there saying, where's the power brick? Everybody's got these issues with Apple specifically. And people were saying, well, maybe Apple can just skip over the port altogether and go to a completely wireless future since people are, you know, not using the port as often. It's still the fastest way to charge your device. I mean, I understand you can do it wirelessly, but if you need speed charging in a pinch, the port is the way to go. And also for large file transfer. Mm-hmm. And on these pro devices, you can shoot like ProRes video, Will. You know about this. Mm-hmm. High resolution. You could have many gigabytes and want to move that footage somewhere else. And if they want to keep calling it pro, well, I'll tell you what, you satisfy, you do a 2-for-1.
Sure.
Thunderbolt is the Type-C connector with greater capability. Am I right, Will?
Yeah.
Even more throughput. Europe, they're happy in Europe. You're connecting with any cable. And then pro users call themselves pro, buy the pro thing, and shoot tremendous gigabytes worth of footage can offload at Thunderbolt speed. Mm. What do you say, Will?
I think it's useful, and I think it's meant to be there.
What do you think, Mo? Thunderbolt on the iPhone. Love it. They can't hear you, so just come over here for a second. We're going to get Mo's input here. He was waving at me the whole way down. Mo, just give him your thoughts, say hello, and tell him about your what you're going to do this weekend.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Yeah. I'm going to be testing out a few products this weekend.
Okay. That sounds interesting.
The microphone.
Good for you.
So, stay tuned. Check out Unbox Therapy. This is me going ahead.
Good job, Mo.
What did I just
win? Glad to be back.
He shakes his head on the way out, just shaking the head over there. Well, the thing was, I brought the jalapeno bread today. That was the main thing. And yeah, with the
big plus.
With the cheddar and the jalapeno.
You never bring any food.
And you know what that guy did? He put it in the toaster, not the toaster.
Oh, yeah. The oven.
We did a video. It's like a high-tech oven. I can't remember the name right now.
Brio?
That's an Italian... Coca-Cola alternative, which is good, by the way. Okay. But maybe the oven might be called that as well. Go look it up. It's futuristic. Cameras. Tabletop. It's pretty cool. Anyway, Mo loves putting things in there. And so I bring this kind of pull-apart loaf.
Brava.
There you go.
Sorry,
no, it's all right, man. If you, I know you probably...
It's a year ago.
But you probably like to drink a Brio here and there, I would guess.
Yeah, Brios are...
Is there like a bitter
refreshing
thing going on? It's nostalgic for me because I used to get a slice and a Brio as a youngster. I don't know if people even know what this is. It's a Canadian variation of a Chinotto soft drink. Okay, so it's you may have tried something similar from San Pellegrino, but this is the Canadian equivalent, and it has the coolest can. I mean, just look at the... Man, look at the can, dude. Are you kidding me? Because I want to know who's kidding who. Mm. Damn, like no other soft drink. So this is the Chinotto that they distribute here, and you'll be likely in the city of Toronto to get a slice and a Brio, and you can also get it in a bottle.
Great with pizza.
And you're just having a time. Mm-hmm. You're having a slice and a bottle. So that's why that was on your mind.
Yeah.
I assume. But I just, you know... Now I'm jealous. I feel like I want your... Have you ever had a Brio before?
Yeah, it's like an Italian...
There you go. You didn't know it's Canada. It's a Canadian variant. So you've been... It's been pretty exclusive that you've... Yeah. What did you eat when you were... What were you eating?
California sandwich.
He was eating a California sandwich.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen. Which is a local spot with the Italian-style sandwich. It's kind of funny. It's called California. But don't worry about that, because what you're going to have is a meatball sandwich or a veal or a chicken or a steak they have as well, lesser known.
Oh, okay.
They have whatever type of sandwich you might want. Many locations.
Okay. Are we talking about sandwiches again?
Many locations.
Yeah.
You might pick up a Brio. This is not a Brio ad, even though it is. Even if the iPhone 15 models only get USB 3.2 support, that would mean theoretical transfer speeds of up to 5 gigabit per second and 20 gigabit per second, depending on the exact specification. Most iPads with USB-C ports already offer faster transfer speeds. iPad Pro models with the M1 chip and newer support Thunderbolt 3 for bandwidth of up to 40 gigabits per second.
I mean, most likely other phone manufacturers are going to follow this, right?
Can you just scroll up? Did they say Thunderbolt 4 or 3? They say...
3.
Oh, 3. At least USB 3.2 or Thunderbolt 3. This is a huge improvement either way. I don't know what you want me to say about this other than, yes, please, like, finally do that, you know? But that is one thing I'll say about the iPhone. It's a great video shooting machine as far as phones go. Mm. And it's one of my favorites. So having more of a pro-type port, huge. Huge bonus. Mm. Apple will buy U.S.-made chips from TSMC, confirms Tim Cook. So TSMC sets up shop in the U.S. sells you the U.S.-made chip, and everybody, you know, politically, that sounds fantastic. You employ some Americans. Apple CEO Tim Cook has made it clear that the company will source at least some of its chip supply from the still unfinished TSMC plant in Arizona. That was like when they're like, we're going to be making our computers
in America.
And then it's Donald Trump, Tim Cook, and they're in Texas, and there's like 17 Mac Pros. Uh-huh. And they're like, yeah, we made them right here. And they're like, wait a second. What about all those MacBooks?
They're $14,000.
What about the like high volume units? Where are all of those? You're like, shut up.
Yeah.
We assembled 26 Mac Pros today. Mm. And that would happen here in Texas.
Yeah.
So Cook made the remarks at an internal meeting in Germany with Apple employees, ranging from engineering to retail employees. I will say this, by the way. Diversification when it comes to supply in general in 2022, when there's been this issue and that issue going on in the world, seems to be the way to do things. All joking aside, that you would not have all your eggs in one basket. Right? Am I right, Will?
Yeah, just like your portfolio.
That's correct. Yeah, all crypto all the time.
Oh, Jesus. Don't do that.
Doubling down. No, you remember, it's buy high, sell low. You realize this is a strategy here, not financial advice.
Yeah.
We've already made a decision to be buying out of a plant in Arizona, and this plant in Arizona starts up in 24. He means 2024. So we've got about 2 years ahead of us on that one, maybe a little less, Cook reportedly said at the meeting, according to Bloomberg. In Europe, I'm sure that we will also source from Europe as those plans become more apparent. So he's just saying, we're Apple. We got billions, trillions, whatever. We're going to figure out how to diversify our manufacturing and how to bring items or at least a portion of the manufacturing closer to the customers in that particular region. So in some cases, like in India, where there might be actually incentives to do so, moving around tariffs by employing locals and so forth. So I can imagine a variety of incentives that would aid in this particular transition. The labor pool in Arizona is also creating a challenge for TSMC. Intel already employs 12,000 people and seeks 3,000 more for its expanded facilities. TSMC will have to compete in an already low unemployment region when seeking talent for its new plant. So it's obviously not going to be easy to do, but I'm sure even for TSMC, there's some upside, because I don't know if you've been paying any attention to what's going on over there, that part of the world, but there's a little uneasiness, a little uncertainty, and I might just have to leave it at that.
Okay.
This episode has been sponsored by Audible. It is your place to listen to stuff, because you want to listen to stuff.
Sure.
Everybody's listening to stuff. Listening on your earbuds, listening in your car, listening when you travel, listening when you're at home with a fire in the background on a cold winter's day. You might want to listen to an audiobook read to you in this voice, something like this. Very
raspy.
That's right. That's right. Could be. Or, you know, the other thing I was listening to, and maybe I talked about this, I can't remember, but I was listening to Animal Farm. And I don't know if I told you, but there's like a BBC version of it, which actually has voice acting in it. It's kind of like listening to a movie almost.
Okay, yeah.
So the different characters are all voiced by different, there's a few different versions, by the way. You can just have the book read normally.
The cow goes moo. I liked it. I listened to this one.
The dramatized one?
And it was very fun, and it was very short.
It's a little bit fun.
Yeah.
It's a little bit fun, a little bit of fun to it. So anyway, listen, guys, listen to Audible. Listen to me, listen to Audible. There's no need to be driving around, sitting in traffic, and not also enjoying that experience to whatever extent you can by listening to something informative, entertaining, and so forth, because there's endless, truly endless supply of content to listen to on Audible. And it's not just audiobooks. There's a podcast on there as well. You can try it for free. I use Audible. You should too. Go check out Audible.
As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Members also get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and podcasts. You can download or stream our included titles all you want. And now you can even listen to a podcast called Heist. It tells stories of real-life robberies from around the world. You get to hear from thieves, detectives working on the case, the victims, and journalists. Very insightful stuff. Go check it out. If true crime isn't your thing, there's comedy, history, fiction, business, and much, much more. All of your favorite content on one app. Let Audible help you discover new ways to laugh, be inspired, or be entertained. New members can try it free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/lulater or text lulater to 500-500. That's audible.com/lulater or text lulater to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. audible.com/lulater.
Apple just completely redesigned iCloud. I don't have to leave it at that. I don't know what I'm like. People are like, who's looking over his shoulder? There's nobody looking over my shoulder. You understand? Yeah. Talk about Taiwan and China. All right.
You said it.
Sometimes I just like to move the mic around for dramatic effect. I just go.
Yeah.
Just grab, hold it. Apple just completely redesigned iCloud.com and it looks a lot better. Apple launched a totally new iCloud.com design on Wednesday. How would you even know this, Will? You don't use iCloud.
No, but I figured a lot of people would.
Use iCloud?
Like on desktop.
It's useful if you want to quickly access some of the apps or services that are otherwise on your Mac, iPhone, or iPad, particularly if you're on a computer you don't own or are using a PC. Oh, that's kind of cool. So you can remotely access your apps. When you're on iCloud.com, you'll now see widgets with a tile for different apps such as Photos, iCloud Drive, and more. Is this a thing? What do you think? You're going to use this now, Will? What's going on?
I like it. It looks pretty clean.
So I go to iCloud.com. This is the interface I see right here.
Uh-huh.
I have my mail, some notes, maybe my drive. I see a nice photo of myself. I don't have a photo of myself. It looks like Sophia there. I don't have to that caliber.
No.
With the backdrop and the smiling and so forth. I don't think we can pull it off. It's not like we have a studio or anything like that. You can customize the homepage however you like, placing certain items such as your email or photo gallery in specific places. There's a plus sign on top upper right side of the screen that you can tap to create a new email, note, calendar event, and reminder, or you can tap it to create a new pages, numbers, or keynote document. Bottom of the page shows details about your iCloud storage plan, such as how much storage you're using. There's also a data recovery option where you can restore deleted files, bookmarks, contacts, and calendars. Well, for iCloud users, they can rejoice now at the new web interface. I actually think I have the 2 terabyte iCloud. I believe the family is storing photos and such.
Okay.
So this would apply to me. I just don't look at it that often.
Yeah.
So
you don't use iCloud.
Well, I don't.
Even when you're using iPhone?
Well, I mean, I'm a customer. I see the bill coming in.
Okay.
But it's not like a daily activity that I would check up on. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Will?
Well, they updated it, so you can check it out.
Maybe I will.
Yeah.
Maybe now's the time. Now's the time to get really into it. Mm-hmm. Might be. Tesla to hold a rare event for Tesla semi deliveries on December 1st. Wow, they're really going to put these out there. Well, they're really going to put them on the roads. It's a nice looking truck, I'll tell you that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Tesla confirmed it's going to hold an event on December 1st for the first Tesla semi deliveries. More details about the production version of the electric truck could be released. Tesla used to hold regular unveiling events for new products and production vehicle programs. The automaker moved away from them since the pandemic and instead held Battery Day and AI Day events. CEO Elon Musk said that Tesla wouldn't unveil new vehicles for a while as it focuses on ramping up production of its existing vehicle programs. Here we have a tweet from Martin Vieca. If you want to attend the semi-delivery event as a retail shareholder, please make sure you have a verified shareholder status on our IR website. We'll be doing a random draw where one share equals one entry. And then you get to go to the semi-delivery event. There's been some big customers of these semis. I don't think it was Walmart. Was it Target? Somebody bought up a bunch of these. They'll probably be present. It's probably a decent deal that's been made. Those can't be cheap. What do you think one of those goes for?
Maybe a
couple hundred?
200K or something?
A couple hundred. You get the two screens. That's what you need, Will.
This is very nice.
You need one screen on each side.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind. And you get to sit in the center of the windshield there.
One for stocks, one for YouTube.
Well, unbelievable.
This is a great time.
One for FTX?
FTX updates. It's a nice fleet here.
Oh my god! Can they get it sorted out? The FTX guys is there a way, or is it just it's all over? I don't know. Like, are they going to get funding from anyone? They have so many high profile investors with big bank accounts, but I don't know. It's one of those things. It starts to go sideways. Everybody gets off the bandwagon. Everybody exits. It's just like
as fast as they came in.
Right. Wow. So what do we have? 32 tweets from SBF. SBF is the founder, CEO. Anyway,
should we wait for that section or no?
Yeah, we're waiting for that section. Don't worry.
Okay, yeah.
Elon Musk's takeover of Twitter has translated into huge user growth. Really? For upstart social media platforms like Mastodon and Tumblr, according to new data. What? Since taking over Twitter, Musk has said Twitter's active users have surged to new highs. New data from Sensor Tower found that smaller rivals like Mastodon and Tumblr have also seen an explosion in growth. Twitter installs have grown by 21% since Musk's takeover, while Mastodon's have grown... Why do they keep talking about Mastodon?
That's the new... social media platform.
I know, but it's like this article said it was going to be about one thing, and they keep throwing that in there. Anyway, couldn't this just be a consequence of renewed interest in Twitter because of all the press that Musk was getting on the takeover, and everyone's like, oh yeah, let me go check that out.
Yeah, Twitter's growing, Mastodon is growing, and also Tumblr. They're all growing.
You're doing the Mastodon thing as well now?
Well, I mean, that's the alternative, right?
Right, right. Alternative
if
to
not
what?
Twitter.
Alternative to what, though?
Twitter.
So you think Mastodon's growth is mostly coming from people who are leaving Twitter?
Perhaps, yeah.
You just hit me with a perhaps?
Mayhaps, yeah.
How do you know they're not coming from Meta? Oh, because it looks a lot like Twitter, this app.
Sure.
Server stats, 197,000 active users. See, the problem here with this is the user base is so much smaller to begin with that you wouldn't need as much of an influx in order to have a huge percentage increase. Granted, that's fine. Like, congrats.
You don't seem impressed.
Congrats. Well,
these guys are trying out here, man.
No, listen.
Come on, no.
Listen to me for a second here. I just don't want to. I'm just think I'm. You know, the other day where you and I were talking about subscriptions, and you're like, "I'm not having any more subscriptions."
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like social media it hits some advanced stage where
enough is enough.
No, where it's like you're embedded in the platforms. The platforms are embedded in you. There's some symbiotic thing going on, and there will be some. It happened recently when the whole free speech topic, whoa, we almost lost you there, Will. And prior to Elon's takeover, where what was happening? What's the company that offered Rogan money? And is it Rumble?
Yeah.
You had Rumble. You had Trump had his social going on. What was the other social? There was another one as well, right? I'm not even remembering all the names right now.
Okay.
But it seems like a trend where everyone wants to take a crack at it at this moment, and things are likely to become fragmented, which could be good, could be bad. I mean, obviously there's dangers in having centralized power in one place where everyone's communicating in one platform.
Mm-hmm.
There's also benefits to having everybody communicating in one forum.
Yeah.
So it's I don't know. It's a tough topic, but either way, yeah. Shout out. I mean, if they can build something better than Twitter, go for it. I just think I just don't imagine myself loading up an account here.
I mean, it's still very small, very very small compared to Twitter.
I have a hard time populating the variety of social media with unique content, and that's at the number that's already there. Mm. When you talk about YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, because like even take TikTok for example, what do I got on TikTok? Just a bunch of imposters. I mean, there's no me on TikTok. And then oftentimes what you end up doing if you've been publishing stuff for such a long time is you would like have similar content that gets pushed to just all these different platforms, and then it becomes hard to know which one it's actually native to. And I'm talking about like watermarks and everything is just so messy. Maybe that's what's bugging me.
So you like centralized platforms?
Centralized power, actually. Okay. No, I guess
there it is.
I guess I think TikTok watermarks have just thrown me over the edge. I think I've just fallen off a cliff. And now all social media entrants to me look like a TikTok watermark, where I just imagine reposting, republicizing, where did this content even come, reformatting. That seems to be the thing in 2022. Like just, you know, when people would get an account suspended or something, it'd be like, here, check my second account. Mm-hmm. It's like this feels like, it's the thing about it though is social media is a space where everybody's struggling. Like even the huge teams with the large user bases appear to be struggling. The likes of Meta and Twitter, and so it is a curious one. Like there's a lot of other spaces, I don't know, in tech, like I don't know, say smartphones, where the leaders appear to be really in charge and have extreme stability, yeah. And like have sort of they're predictable. Mm-hmm. Whereas in social, the leaders, the biggest user bases, appear to be more volatile. And
yeah,
obviously Elon's takeover is one example of that.
Mm-hmm. I think because it's more like a political problem and regulation, because maybe you're dealing with a lot of free speech rules that is not about, you know, building phones or anything like that.
Yeah, well,
social culture.
Well, I mean, there's other companies that have more diversified business like Google, and they would make a phone and also an ad product and also somehow manage YouTube, and it is somewhat possible, but you're right. I mean, a lot of the reaction to Musk's takeover had some sort of political undertone to it.
And he's also reposting a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
So the reposting is, it's just
a lot of memes.
The reposting is out of control right now. It's a lot of reposting going on. Well, anyway, so the use of social media is up. Yeah. Twitter is one of them, but Tumblr, another microblogging service once owned by Yahoo, saw adoption surge 96% in the U.S. and 77% worldwide. Is there any thesis to this article as to, like, are they putting their neck out there and saying, here's why we think this is the case? Oh, here we go. Many popular users on Twitter have encouraged their followers to move over to Mastodon, so that was what we expected. And that would be because they weren't a fan of Musk, and they'd be saying, that's okay, you can continue to follow me here. This can be our sanctuary, our Muskless sanctuary on Mastodon. So that would explain the growth there. And I suppose Tumblr could have been one of those places. But the interesting part there, that means that the Twitter's increase in users would have to be a net on their, considering their losses to these other platforms, if that's really what's going on, which would mean that new users who weren't previously on the platform had come in. as a consequence of Musk being involved or whatever.
Yeah, let's check out what this Twitter's about.
Yeah, headlines and everything else. Mastodon has 1 million global downloads, according to Sensor Tower, while Twitter had 238 million daily active users as of July. Do we ever find out how many are bots? I don't know. But yeah, okay.
They're still working on bots.
There's a scale difference there at the moment between those two.
Yeah.
Well, Will, I don't know. If you go take a crack at Mastodon, let me know what's going on over there.
Okay, I'll give it. Why not?
Yeah. There was a time where, and I don't know if it's myself or my age or what, there was a time where a new social media would open up and you would immediately reserve your name and be like, just in case it became the next big thing, where it felt like those transitions were happening more frequently from like MySpace to Facebook to Instagram. It was always like the next one was better.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point that stopped or slowed down at least.
Yeah. And Twitter just rose up to be like the pinnacle of social media.
It did?
Well, like, you know, Facebook and maybe Tumblr as well.
Well, Facebook has...
Like, remember GeoCities? Where's that now?
But Facebook still has tons of daily actives. It's just different.
It's different, sure. But it is considered social media.
Well, sure. But that's what I mean. In terms of daily active users, Twitter's not at the top. Facebook is close to like a billion, I believe, compared to Twitter's 200-something million. But it's just, I think our perception of it because popular figures tend to use Twitter.
Right.
So it's like a lot of, and Elon, I think is an influencer, and his involvement and promotion of the platform, I think is going to have an effect.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting that a lot of celebrities use Twitter and almost none of them use Facebook. Maybe Instagram?
Well, and if they do, they use Instagram. If they do use Facebook, it almost always seems like it's some sort of team running it.
Yeah.
Like doesn't
seem...
Like
some sort of PR team.
Organic.
Mm.
I don't know what that's about, but yeah, I agree with you. Instagram less so. Instagram still feels somewhat native. And obviously, you can throw TikTok in the mix. Anyway, we've been on this topic for way too long. I'm dying here. I'm dying. I can't breathe over here.
Yeah.
It's going round and round here. What am I ranting about? Social media options, like whatever, do whatever you want. You want to use Mastodon, then do it.
I will.
You know what I mean? Like, what do I care? I don't really care. Just,
yeah. Try it out and see if you find like some sort of positivity.
You know what I mean?
Not you.
Oh.
Because you're super busy.
Oh,
I get
okay,
it.
Okay. No, that wasn't that. It was like, I'm probably socializing on social media outside of YouTube the least I ever have since social media has existed. I'm just going to say that right now.
Okay, yeah.
The best place to find me is here in this microphone every so often.
Uh-huh.
That's the way I would say it.
Yeah.
So, okay, FTX, are we on to the FTX thing now?
Sure.
Damn. All right, so... Complete fallout, bankruptcy declared, FTX, enormous crypto exchange. Not the first time a crypto exchange has run into huge difficulties or gone under or where there's been, they're claiming now that there was a hack around $350 million.
Mm-hmm.
There's other reports that user funds were being used to finance crypto trades with another company associated with FTX. It's enormous. It's an enormous deal. Here we're seeing outflows exceeding $600 million, mysterious outflows of money from the exchange. Talking about how the leverage was FTX's native coin.
FTT.
FTT. This thing's going to be unfolding like over the next week or so. More. Well, maybe we're going to see the documentary in the next year or something. But Binance was supposed to step in, or they had at least tweeted that they were thinking about it. And I didn't realize that they had been an investor as well in FTX previously. Mm-hmm. And then they quickly, after apparently, after examining the potential of the deal, looking at the books, they said, nah, we're good. Binance CEO Changpeng Zhao, a walking time bomb after FTX collapse. Yeah. What? What's a walking time bomb? The economist known as Dr. Doom slammed cryptocurrency platform Binance's CEO as a walking time bomb on Wednesday, following the implosion of its rival FTX. Nouriel Roubini, a New York University professor, blasted top figures in the cryptocurrency sector as con men just days after leading platform FTX collapsed into bankruptcy. Roubini, who was participating in a panel for Abu Dhabi Finance Week in the United Arab Emirates, was particularly critical of Zhao, arguing regulators should think twice before allowing him to operate. What are the seven C's of crypto? Concealed, corrupt, crooks, criminals, con men, carnival bankers, and finally, CZ. Whew! Jeez.
Yeah. So they were trading blows with each other. CZ, the owner of Binance, saying that this guy doesn't understand, you know, they're legit, apparently. So, yeah, I think with all these, you know, places that's just getting bankrupt, Binance could be next, based on this guy's thoughts.
Well, everyone's waiting for the next domino to fall. Everybody, I think there's, you're wondering, I mean, crypto has been through a lot. It was flying. You recall, it was flying for a minute or two. And it's obviously difficult to analyze. There were companies investing in FTX moments ago, right, like prior to this going down. They said everything looks good. Mm-hmm. I'm saying moments ago, but I mean like fairly recently. So if it can be, if problems at that scale can happen that quickly or be concealed, I'm not saying I know which is which in this case. It goes to show you just the sheer magnitude, potential magnitude of the situation. And you start to question every single exchange, which then has a negative effect on the entire market.
Yes.
Crypto in general, everybody's skepticism goes up. Mm-hmm. And at one time, the way you would combat the skepticism is by suggesting major gains. You'd be like, okay, you might be skeptical, but look at all your friends making money. Don't you want... And everyone's like, okay, fine. Yeah. Screw the skepticism.
But not this time.
Now it goes completely in the other direction when that much money goes missing.
It's a big hit.
Another one that's been targeted is the celebrities that endorsed FTX, because there were a lot. Tom Brady, Larry David, Shaq, and Steph Curry were all involved. I think I saw Giselle as well in there. Over FTX implosion. As followed from the FTX implosion continues, a new lawsuit takes aim at the celebrity shills who helped promote the cryptocurrency exchange. They couldn't say endorsers. Yeah. They had to go all the way to shill. Well, here's the thing. I don't know if... Because I had heard, I don't remember where I heard this, that in some cases there could have been equity deals done. Now, that's a different story than just a straight up sponsorship, I assume. Things are looking pretty bad for Larry David, as well as a slew of other famous people who previously helped to promote the now wrecked cryptocurrency exchange FTX. Class action lawsuit filed in Florida on Tuesday lists as defendants a host of celebrities. Larry David, Tom Brady, Giselle Bundchen, Shaq, Steph Curry, and others. The suit also lists the firm's former CEO and founder, Sam Bankman-Fried, or SBF, as a defendant and accuses the company of being deceptive, a deceptive business that engaged in harmful and fraudulent behavior. What's interesting about this story is that CEO, SBF, has famously been philanthropic in giving away money or contributing to causes, or in some cases even talking about bailing out others in the crypto space that ran into issues. Mm-hmm. So it's curious, the whole thing has kind of flipped in the other direction now. There you go. The do-gooder movement that shielded Sam Bankman-Fried from scrutiny. Effective altruism backed by Silicon Valley billionaires. There's so much to this story, Will, that is going to come out. There's like this money that was getting routed to that other company, which I'm forgetting the name right now. Maybe
Alameda Research.
So all that's going to get opened up. And they're going to say, what exactly was going on? Where are these trades? How did the whole thing crumble? And it's going to take a little bit of time. And I'm sure many talented individuals have already begun to dig in. But when you're talking about billions and billions of dollars, Will, you're going to get some people's attention.
Uh-huh.
You are going to get some people's attention. I don't know. It is a curious one, this idea of how responsible the celebrities are in this situation.
Yeah, because maybe themselves don't even know what's going on. Maybe their PR is just like, here's a bunch of money. Go do this ad. Here's the
it is. There is a responsibility to do a degree of research or to put a disclaimer in there. When you're skeptical. And then obviously in crypto, there's pump and dump stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think Kim Kardashian got in trouble for that. Maybe even Floyd Mayweather, if you recall that story from a while back.
Was it Ether Max? Max Ether?
Ethereum Max, yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is, in this case, like FTX was a legitimate exchange, or it appeared to be at the time. I don't know. Again, if you were getting high-profile investors to sign off on it and they're supposed to be looking at the books here, then what is Larry David supposed to do?
Yeah.
Are you legit or not? Like, let me see the books there. And he's looking over. So I don't know to what extent they're responsible, but it is it's a real debacle, to say the least.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have an update shortly on it. I don't know. I got to watch the Cold Fusion video. It's 30 minutes long. Vin sent it to me. If anybody's interested, we can also go watch that and
sure.
See what we're able to discover there.
Mm-hmm.
What are you showing me here?
Have you seen Dbrand's verified stickers?
No.
They're kind of cool.
So what do I do with these?
You stick them on stuff.
Oh, it's like a physical, it's an actual sticker.
Yeah.
This is not a digital asset. This is not an NFT.
No.
Let's see how they describe it. What do fake news sites, bot accounts, and Linus G. Sebastian have in common? They aren't verified on Twitter. but now anyone can be verified.
There you go.
We have just one question. Why stop at Twitter accounts instead of footing the bill for the worst bluff of all time? Pay us once to verify whatever you want. Checkmate, Elon, $8. And you can verify whatever you want. Just put your nice little blue check mark on there.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you like to? Where would you put these stickers? Well, you could put it on your MacBook right over top the Apple logo. You just verify your MacBook.
Sure, yeah.
I think some people might do that.
They're fun.
Yeah, that's a cool idea. Oh, there. I knew NFTs are going to have to make an appearance at one point. Of course, we had to have the ape in there. Even Linus gets a check mark.
Go.
Well, it is true that he is not verified. His personal account is not verified, but Linus Tech Tips is verified. So gotcha. Just to be clear. Now, you want one of these check marks, don't you, Will?
I do, actually.
So...
maybe I'll just buy a few of these.
Yeah, things. I think you might. I think these might be better in the
long
run.
It's better in real life.
Yeah, I think these might be better in the long run for you. Go for the Dbrand version. Put wherever you want.
So, yeah, they're $8.
Oh, some people might even put it on their Tesla.
Why not?
I verify that.
Cool. All right, last one.
Adidas cuts earnings forecast in half after parting with Kanye West. We knew this was going to be expensive. The company it said its net income for 2022 dropped $251 million from nearly $503 million, a forecast given 5 days before the partnership dropped. So they said, hey, we think we're going to make $500 million. And then they're like, oh, damn, we got to cancel this deal. And they're like, yeah, we're only going to do $250 million. Now, there's a couple of ways I suppose you could read this. You might be sitting there saying, does that mean that the Yeezy brand is half of the net income of Adidas in 2022? Like, you might be thinking that, right? Well, but here's the thing. You have to assume that there might be some losses in the termination of this deal. Hmm. Whether there's penalties associated, whether there's product that has to be essentially destroyed, assembly and factories that have to be retooled. There's all kinds of expenses associated with completely
dissolving
a relationship at that scale.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, obviously it's impossible to know. The fact that they could adjust it that quickly to me makes it feels like it is sales. You know, they say income for 2022, $500 million. 5 days prior, terminate the deal. Actually, it's only going to be $250. Mm. Like, how do you get, where does that $250 go that quickly in 2022? Mm. Did Kanye get paid out $250 million to just back off?
Huh. Curious. I'm just goofing around.
I don't think.
Well, you made me think about it.
That was my goal. I just wanted to make you think about it.
Yeah.
You know, the shoes are expensive when they're wrapped in Saran like that. Well, they got the plastic wrap.
Uh-huh.
The company stated that its reduction of the forecast of earnings was due to negative tax implications in the third quarter related to the company's decision to terminate the Adidas Yeezy partnership. In addition to the high seasonality of the Adidas Yeezy business geared towards the fourth quarter, Adidas also noted that slower consumer demand in Western markets, along with its decision to wind down operations in Russia, affected the earnings forecast. Yeah, I don't know to what extent they have to expose this deal in its entirety, but I assume it's complicated and there's all types of line items and, well, I mean, they even said tax implications, which is enough for me to be like, yeah, ugly mess.
And I wonder what they're going to do about the old inventory. It must cost a lot.
Yeah, do you?
Like, if they want to sell it, which they probably can't.
I don't think they're going to sell it.
Yeah.
I think they're going to destroy it, or maybe can they recycle it and turn it into different sneakers? Like, I don't know. It's kind of unprecedented that you would have that amount of product sitting around.
Huh.
Man. And who knows? They could have some funky contract. What if the contract stipulates, in the event of a termination of our agreement, I receive all existing inventory? Like, what if Kanye gets it? No, I'm just saying you could write anything into the agreement. Yeah. I don't think that that's the case, let alone does he even currently have the warehousing distribution to deal with it.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's no doubt that he was a significant part of the brand. No doubt about that.
For sure. Yeah.
That's absolutely certain at this point, and this only adds to that. Well, you got some ups, you got some downs. You got some ups and downs on a Thursday, on a Friday, and you come to expect it. You work through it. And hopefully whatever ups and downs you have going on, it's not to the extent of billions of dollars or even hundreds of millions or even millions for that matter. There's always a way out. Sometimes it's a smaller opening than you may have hoped for. It's like a bird that's trapped in your garage. You actually don't want to open the garage entirely.
Or else more birds will come in?
They don't perceive that as an exit because they're tuned up to look for small openings.
Sure.
So actually, what you want to do is open a smaller window and close the big one.
Mm.
And a small bird is more likely to find its way out as it sees the light coming in from that more precise source.
Gotcha.
What I'm trying to say here, it will.
Huh?
What I'm trying to tell you here is there's always a way out, you understand?
Okay, yeah.
And sometimes you got to look for the small opening, not the big one.
Mm. Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, guys.